doing faster than we were, so making some progress. Just in terms of the schedule, next Tuesday I'm not going to be able to be in. So I think we'll switch Monday for, as things stand, I have some other appointments on Monday evening. But hopefully by Monday at 1 I should be free. So we'll have the regular Shia. Can people hear? Hello? Yeah. So we'll have the regular Shia on, regular Gemara Shia next week on Monday instead of Tuesday, because Tuesday I have to be somewhere else. Just give me one more second to get the Zoom people on. And as I say, we'll try to get better as we go. If there are any good suggestions, we are totally open to them. I also changed the Zoom number for those. I sent it out to Aaron this morning. This one's not, I'm not sure why that always happens. Again, there we go. So there was a suggestion of whether it may have some issues with it. It's very hard to hear. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me well? Yeah? Yes. Okay, got it. So, but it's a little hard for me to hear you, especially those of you who are more in the back. Does this muffle it more, or this is okay? Can you hear me as well as you can hear me with the other mask? A little less?
I think we're getting
some mic as much. Oh, that's nice. Okay. So I'll try. If not, maybe I'll still use the other one for talking, but this is actually more comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's switch back to the other one for the talking. Maybe it's just more permanent. That's the right thing. Okay, but it is more comfortable, so I'm going to go with it. Yeah, I think this is a little better. Yeah. I guess anything that's more of a barrier but I'm going to, yeah. Okay, we'll add it to the prominently in my connection. Thank you. Okay, so let me get the Zoom people on. We have a new, code, which should work for a while. We might have to pick another one in December. But, okay, so for next week, we wait till the Zoom people are on. One second. Audio. Okay. Waiting room. Okay. So I'm just going to get my co-hosts in place, and let's begin. Yitzchak Weiss, you want to be a co-host?
My honor.
Okay, terrific. That's the right answer. And I'm not seeing Avraham. Is he here? Usually make him. If not, we'll go with Tani. Tani has. I don't think Tani's been a co-host yet. Tani, have you been a co-host yet?
Yeah, I
heard. Oh, you were.
Yeah.
I'll make you again then. Okay. So, So next Tuesday, I'm actually not going to be able to be here. So instead, we're going to have the regular shiur Monday at 1. Although, again, I have to take someone to an appointment, so all things being equal, it should be done by 1. If there's a problem, I'll be in touch. People can hear? So next week's schedule is Sunday will be just on the computer, and Monday will be a live share. Oh, there's Avraham. I'm actually making a call. So Sunday will be a computer share or a Zoom share, a Monday regular share, Thursday regular share, and Tuesday, as since then, I will not be able to be in. I think we're also planning a midterm, even though it's crazy because we just began and we just finished with our Hakdama. Avraham, do we have any updates on the midterm?
Okay.
And we are still trying to figure out ways to again, enhance the hybrid experience so that everybody can see each other and hear each other. I already spoke to Rabbi Kalbas, who's now a member of the REITS team, and is an alumni, or an alumni, alumnus of the Shia. And he's thinking about it. He's very good, technically, in addition to other things. So hopefully we'll be able to have either more microphones or some sort of a screen. But it's a little bit strange that I guess the young Israel of Woodmere was more high-tech, than Room 501. So we're working on that, right? Anytime? Right? It was like a hub of technology over there. Okay. Or maybe it's just, Ari's good work could be. Okay, so let's begin. We were discussing the issue of Nidika, and I want to continue with that. And again, we'll try to start on time when we're live as well, going forward. Just takes a little bit getting used to. I'm just going to take a quick drink. Say Shachayanu, I'm using the cup again, right? So thank Moshe for taking over Moshe's spot. I see Moshe Blank is on the computer, but it's hard to handle the cup from there. Okay, so this let's get back to where we were. We were going through the different shitos that weighed in on the relationship on the status of the Bedikas Chametz, a topic which we will certainly add to. And number one, the Miyashev Shitas Rashi against the attack on Balitosis. Balitosis seemed to deny that Bedikas is Doraisa at all. Rashi connects it with Bayur Bayimatze. And we've seen different formulations that emerge from this, both in order to respond to that question, as well as just objectively to try to assess the role or the relationship of Bedika in the mix of Bedika, Biur, the different Shitas of Biur, Bitol, the different Shitas of Bitol, the relationship between Tashbisu and Bal Yurai, etc. And of course, this is a topic that we continue to add to going through. So just a few quick ha'aros, and then finish up with the other Shitas and then move on. So the Tano brought to my attention, I've been suggesting that the Ram has conflicting formulations, in that he, again, in part I think that is true, certainly his shifting between Bedika and Bior, as well as, trying to be very comprehensive, in assessing, what Bitol is. But one of the things I was also pointing to was that while several times and towards the beginning of the piece, he indicates that Bedika is included in Tashbisu, right, towards the end of the piece, when he reformulates it, he suggests that Bedika precludes the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. It sounds like not that it's a keel in Tashbisu, it fulfills Tashbisu, but that it makes Tashbisu unnecessary. And that also seems to be two different formulations. Mitano pointed out to me that if you look very carefully in the language of the Ram, again, I think it's still pretty subtle, but at least what one might say, I think it's probably right, is that on that point, the Ram is not inconsistent. And what he means is that whenever you do Bedika and you find the Behen, then the Bedika is a kiyum in Tashbisu. And then, of course, you have to figure out still the relationship between the Bedika part and the Biur part. So we can say, I guess, when Bedika is also integrated with Biur, right, then Bedika is part of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. But it's when we're dealing with a Bedika which comes up empty, right? So that is the equivalent, I guess, of generating the status of Chametz She'eino Yadua, or Makom Badur, which is really what he mostly focuses on. For others, I think it's Chametz She'eino Yadua. This is Makom Badur. And once you have a Makom Badur, then there's no Chiyuv Tashbisu. And it is meduyak that he keeps speaking about or equating doing a bedika with relating to a makom in which ein machnisim bo zachatz, or mostly ein machnisim bo zachatz. So the idea that that's already a makom badok or a makom she'eino, you know, zakuk l'bedika, you know, makes a great deal of sense. So at least in that respect, it is not a steer in the run. Ram's just saying that the chiyuv, bedika, chiyuv, tashbisa doesn't apply unless you have such a makom. Again, what I could have said, that you're always obligated to turn any makom into a makom badok, you know. But again, then you have to contend with the question of makom shemachnis. So I think that's a good hara by Nathaniel. Also, Moshe Wahlberg, I don't know if he's in the room. Are you in the room, Moshe? Oh, there you are. Yeah. So, Moshe made the ha'ara to me that, go ahead, Moshe, you want to say it? Yeah. So the again, I'll repeat that again. What did just a technical question first? I started mentioning it before. The suggestion was made at some point that maybe the people in the room should also be on Zoom, so that when they speak, everybody could hear them. But is that a problem of feedback? Is that going to be a feedback problem? Not necessarily. Is that doable? So that everybody in Zoom can see and hear them. That solve the problem? Okay, let's try it. So anyway, the Moshe was making the ha'ara to me was that if you look carefully at the Ram, it also considers a possibility, right? That Tashbisu doesn't relate to Bitul at all. But what we were saying for the Ram was that there's an interesting discussion in Rishonim, the Ram, Ritva, Maram Chalava, and that is, you know, does Tashbisa mean more than one thing? And if so, is there a hierarchy? But Moshe was pointing out that if you look at the Ram, well, most of the time he seems to integrate Bittul and Bedika, or Bedika Biur, Bedika slash Biur, whatever you want to call it, together under the rubric of Tashbisu, he also acknowledges that according to the Bali Tosis, Bittul is a Bali Rav problem, and that he quotes a Nifsh Halacha and other Rishonim who think that it's not just, you know, Lemaisa, there's no Bali Rav either. It's a Limud from Bali Rav. Chem, Pcha, Patecha. So how does that fit into the Ram's view? I think that's a good point, but I do think that here, the dominant view of the Ram is, you know, his own view, which is that that's the first view that he quotes, and that's kind of the default one that he's working with, and that is that Bittul and Biur and Biur both come under the rubric of Tashbisu, and that they coexist there, and that they are equal expressions of. I think he's also just being comprehensive, you know, also to cite the position of Balitosis. But I think that even his, I think this is consistent with the fact that Balitosis' view of Bittul is a straight out dine mominis, you know, if it's not yours, then there's no Bali Rav. And the Ram's view of Bittul, while it also is working with the concept of Afghan like Tosis, again, we'll discuss all this more fully, but at the end of the day, it is also invoking, you know, the din of Rabbi Shmuel of Shnei Dvarim Inim Shusa Shalos Vadam Asana Kasam Kilo Rishusa, and using that, you know, as a factor, right, in the quality of the hefka that is necessary. So I think for the Ran himself, that understanding of Bittul, which comes from the world of Bali Tosis, has been transmuted, right, also into a real Tashbisu type halacha. Whereas for Bali Tosis themselves, you know, it really, as we'll see, it's really more straightforward dine mamna. If I don't own it, It's like, you know, Shalachei Rishon Levoah, you know, end of story. And for that reason, you know, it really has nothing to do with Tashbis. So you could, it's a great example, again, we'll talk about this more when we sum up on Dalin. It's a great example of how you can, you know, be, you know, you have to integrate other shitas historically that precede you and that impact upon you, you know, but the Ran, living in a post-Tosis world, but also in a post, again, I'll elaborate it, post-Ramban world at the same time, kind of fuses those two ideas together so that they become something, you know, quite independent, you know, both. I think it is a very good ha'ara. And then finally, just, you know, two quick points. This idea that one pasuk can, you know, carry the burden, not the burden, can, you know, convey, you know, multiple dinim, that, you know, tashbisu could refer to bittul, and it could also refer to bidika, or bidika slash bior, is an interesting phenomenon. And the question is whether or not, you know, it applies them equally, or it applies them in a hierarchy, you know, that there's an ikar and a tafel, as we were saying for some of the Mishonim, is maybe even more intriguing. So on a meta-halachic level, you know, that's just, as it was pointed out to me after Shir, you know, we mentioned it, but Avrami was, I think, asking me, you know, more about it. I think it is an interesting, you know, phenomenon. And we're not talking about two applications, you know, of a pasuk. You know, we're talking about two, you know, very different halachic expressions. So you do have such a phenomenon, you know, here and there, especially on the larger rubric of lav shebeklalos, right, where you have a single pasuk in the Torah which conveys, you know, different yisurim or different concepts. And by the way, in that context, according to many, Makoros and Rishonim, there also can be an ikar and a tafel, like the lav shebeklalos, you know, ikar means this, but tafel means that. Both of them are doraisa, right, but, and that's of course an example, a very similar example. Of course here, it's different, better or worse, I don't know, just different, in that we're talking about the same category. We're talking about neutralizing or fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisa of chametz. You know, it's a single mitzvah, and we're talking about different methodologies that aren't simply applications. Whereas in lav shemeklalos, typically, we're talking about different, you know, shemos iser completely, you know, just that are conveyed, you know, in Torah Shabbat by a single pasuk. So I think there are differences, the kula and the chumra, possibly, but I think it is an interesting parallel. Either way, one final point, and that is, I've suggested that partly this whole topic, and we're going to amass much more evidence, of course, touches on the relationship between the mitzvah tashbisu and bal yirah. And just to sum that up, I think that there are at least four, you know, obvious perspectives when it comes to that, or three and a nuance. Meaning, how do we understand, you know, the relationship between tashbisu and bal yirah? This is one of the things that we are interested in. Again, I highlighted it the other day by noting the discussion of the Michas Chinuch, who thinks that if you don't have chametz in your rishus, at least, you know, according to some, maybe you'd be obligated to acquire it in order to destroy it. So obviously, that implies that tashbisu is a mitzvah that is independent of the danger of bayir or bayir matzah. You know, that's one kind of an issue. Can the mitzvah of tashbisu extend beyond bayir? Another issue is, of course, the timing question. Because tashbisu certainly begins at chatzos, you know, at the time of achilek. It's questionable whether tashbisu continues into Yom Tov or not. We'll discuss that. Whereas bal yirah, I mean, Rashi and Dalam and Aleph and Rambam, Paragimel and Ches, I've already mentioned, we'll discuss it more fully, seem to say that bal yirah bayimatzeh applies beginning of Katsalos. But those are fascinating shittas, but difficult ones. They are the minority of this. Rashi and Rambam both say it. Questions, do they really, really mean it? There are some who think that they don't really mean it. But we'll discuss it. But either way, even if they do mean it, it certainly constitutes the exception rather than the rule. Based on Torah Shabbat, certainly, Lo Yerevelei Matzeh refers to the 7 days of Chag HaMatzos. And that is certainly the majority of the Rishonim. The Rambam calls the Rambam out on it, other Rishonim call out Rashi. So we have Tashbisu, which begins at Chatzos, on the Yom Yadavid. And you have Bal Yerah, which according to most Rishonim applies, only in the Zman of Chag HaMatzos itself. That again might indicate that Tashbisu and Bal Yerah are independent, or no, maybe it doesn't. At least in one direction, maybe it doesn't. So, in any case, one perspective is that Tashbisu Lachud, Bal Yerah Lachud. If that's not the case, right, then the relationship could either be that there's a lav and an asay, right? That's a phenomenon that we're certainly very, accustomed to. But certain dinim in the Torah have an asay and a lav, like Shabbos, Lachim Shabbos and Yom Tov, and many other things. As well as, then the second question is, the asay and the lav are two sides of the same coin, or, one is the ikar and the other, is its, tafa. Meaning the mitzvah is to do tashbisu. And if you neglect to do it, and maybe that mitzvah starts at Chatzos, but, you're only going to violate if you actually, didn't do anything at all before Chag HaMatzos begins, assuming the timing difference, or maybe the timing begins automatically, same time. But either way, Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh then is the consequence of ignoring Tashbisu, or the opposite. Tashbisu is the mitzvah to preclude and avoid, Bal Yerah. Even if you think that Bal Yerah and Tashbisu are independent, there's a separate question, and that's one of the things that we were talking about, and that is, if you fulfill Tashbisu, can you still violate Bal Yerah? Right? That's an interesting question. So again, a little bit of a version of that question you have in, Shema Yimatzeh Gluska Yofet. If you assume that doing a Medika was a kiyum in Tashbisu, and it didn't just turn out to be a toast, so you did the mitzvah of Tashbisu B'Shaito, but now you have a Chatzah Shel Chametz, and, you... you're going to violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh, for it. Unless you want to say one of two things. Number one, that Bedika, which doesn't find Chametz only, dictates that there is no Tashbisu, but it isn't actually a key of Tashbisu. Or that a Bedika, which doesn't turn up Chametz, but later there is Chametz, and not just Kamei Shemaya Galia, not just after Pesach, but even on Pesach, although again, I think you could draw the line in any of those, turns out to be a Bedika B'Tahos, in which case, the Gloy Milsa that there's no Kiyum Tashbisu, second option, or maybe to emphasize the Vedaita Olay, part of it, which is that maybe, as far as it goes, when you did a Bedika, even if it was, a fallible, an eminently fallible Bedika, because turns out you found Chametz and even on Pesach itself. Didn't they stay bothered for very long? So, turns out, however, maybe Daita Alei is a way of reconnecting, with the Chametz, and that's the Mechayim of a new Tashbisu, or at least that triggers a new Bal Yerah. So these are the three things that we have to look at when we get, to those Gemaras. We'll try to look and see what the Lashonos and the Rishonim imply. But these are things to be thinking. Okay, so that's in terms of things that I wanted to backtrack on. Now let's finish our discussion as quickly as we can so we can start the the regular shop wouldn't carry them. Okay, so we've discussed the different views of how to be miyashi rashi, mostly. There are a couple of more suggestions to be made. One is a kind of a technical one. Did I bring it or did I bring it? I have. And that is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel. Gonna have to start calling the list also. But everybody in the room who speaks should really also identify themselves, because again, it's a little hard. Most of you I can tell, but somebody with a mask in the distance, a little hard. Anybody see the Rabbeinu Yechiel in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz? Josh, you saw it? Yeah, so what does he say?
He said, the last Yubashika is because I don't remember if you've been.
The guys just wanted to be with the camera a little bit.
Wait a minute, I'm not hearing you.
The guys wanted to be with the camera. More to the
Oh. Okay, so we have to make sure of it like this. Yeah. Go ahead, hey, Josh.
He says that as recent as Yubashika, so that he's not going to remember if you've been.
Yeah. Okay, so that's obviously a much more technical approach to the problem. Again, was that too bad? Was it that way? Feedback? No, not bad. Okay. So, the, Rabbeinu Yechiel, Hetzricha Chachamim Lasos Bedika de Ispei Tircha, right? Mitok Kachi Azokha Lasos Bito Daraisa Velo Yahor Al Bal Yiro. Okay, so that's a technical meaning, not that bedika itself, solves the problem of bal yiro vayimatzei, right? But that, you know, bedika is a technical reminder. Bedika is a step that will, you know, secure, you know, the problem of bal yiro vayimatzei. But according to that, if you give that explanation, then obviously you don't think bedika is the right, right? Okay. So that's an interesting shot. An equally interesting shot is an almost in the other direction, I don't know if here, is what the Or HaZeruah quotes. I'm not sure, I don't think I gave you that to look at, I should have. The Or HaZeruah quotes a fascinating shita, which if I understand it correctly, conceptualizes Rashi. I don't know whether I believe it in Rashi, but I do think that it's worth mentioning. So the Or HaZeruah, let me see if I can find this, quotes this in the name of, one second, HaKadosh HaRav Rav Yaakov Dikdek Liyashiv Pirush HaTayr HaGadol through Rashi. Shuv ina overall of. Okay. And then he has Rav Menachem HaKosid, right? Went to Kadosh, went to Kosid. Vayim Yashiv Pirush Rashi B'chayshim Shem Yishkach Habitul Mikol Kach Tekni Olavika. So that's a technical one. What is the idea that the Or HaZeruah is quoting? So it sounds like what he's saying is, and again, I don't necessarily buy it in Rashi, but I like it as an idea. And Rashi isn't saying that bedika directly neutralizes bal yiro vayimatzei. He's saying that it goes back in a way, and I'm guessing that this is influenced by the perspective of Balei Tosfos. Again, it's another great example of, you know, the impact that Shitos, Rishonim or Shitos, you know, in a discussion, have on our thinking, and the generation therefore, instigates like a different perspective. So it sounds like what he's saying is that he's addressing the question of whether chametz is unique as an isra. And what he's suggesting is that Rashi is trying to explain why is it, and this is a topic, again, that we have to pursue. It seems like the prohibition of Bar Yom HaYimotzeh is a continuous one. As long as you leave the chametz in your reshus and you do not address it, right, you're consistently in violation of Bar Yom HaYimotzeh. Mash Enkein, let's say, Mosel Sirum Nebenu Ad Boker, Nosar, which is a one-time violation. Because if you leave Nosar and you don't destroy it, then you violate Mosel Sirum. But you don't continue to be violating all the time. So what he's saying is that there's Bedikas Chametz because of the Chumrah of Ba'i. And that's what he's emphasizing. Ba'ira is more chomor, I guess, in its application, than other shehiyah, isurei shehiyah. And that occasions also bedika. There's no bedika in Nosar, but there's bedika in chametz. It's because of ba'ira. So that doesn't mean that bedika neutralizes ba'ira, but that bedika is caused by, or is caused by, what is reflected by Bal Yirah. So I think that's a very fascinating way, kind of combining the discussion of Tosas, you know, again, to use the Radvaz language, Manishtana, so we're taking from everybody's, you know, contribution to the discussion, and looking at the question of the profile of the Isser in a broader way, you know, and applying that to Bedika. Okay, that's in terms of the Rishonim, mostly Rishonim. There are a couple of other things. There's a whole group of Rishonim who agree with Bali Tosis, seemingly, that Bedika is mostly Durabah. And there are still some others who think that Bedika is Doraisa, but maybe on a slightly different basis. Let me discuss them very briefly before we move on. But when you say Bedika is Durabah, you know, so that too then can be, you know, classified in two ways. One is in a more technical way, like the first day of Tosas, right? The Bedika being a siyag, you know, for the Isra of Achila Doraisa. But let's also remember that we have the second day of Tosas, right? Which is that Bedika is a siyag for the Isra Doraisa, you know, which is not psychologically at minimum more kal, but factually and substantively, we're home. But even then, it just means that Bedika serves that function, or, again, once you start with the Radvaz and others, it's not just Bedika, it's not Bedika's a siyag v'chaisa, it's, like we just said, actually, for the Orzarua, it's Bedika reflecting the chomer of chametz more generally. You have to seek it, in addition to destroying it, or root it out, right, if you want to talk about the pinui part, for the very same reason, you know, that it has other chumras, namely that it is an isra chama. So that is a critical perspective. I don't think that's what Rashi means in the second day, but I do think that certainly is what the Arzarua ends up saying. So in this respect, it's important. Did I forget to bring the Rambam? In this respect, it's important. Thank you. If we could just always have a Rambam and a Gemara here, so that'll protect us. Okay. In this respect, you know, the Rambam Shita becomes important as well. Josh, what do you think about the Rambam Shita? Well, about chametz, about bedikas chametz. You tell me which one. Can they hear you? Are you on the thing also? Is it easy to do that? In other words, people should be, I guess, muted in the room unless they want to speak, and then when they speak, is that it? Would everybody then hear? Yeah. Okay, great.
I
thought
Gimel was very strange because he says he did it so twice. It should have seemed that he wanted to convey that Bedika was the Rizofer, so he should have just said that Bedika was the Rizofer and started Bedika.
Okay, great. I heard a lot of that coming. Anybody? Everybody could hear, right? Okay, great. So, yeah, the Rambam's formulation is fascinating, and especially given his larger, broader sheet, Josh, of Divrei Sofrim, right? So the Rambam says, you have language to read it? Both in terms of the halacha and especially its implications. We'll talk about that a little bit now, too. But this double the Divrei Sofrim and the association of the Divrei Sofrim, it's ironic. In other words, let's say the following. First of all, when Rambam uses the Divrei Sofrim as opposed to the Divrei'im, you know, we're always sensitive to that. Right? And as we've said many, many times, that could mean that it is, you know, like a lower level Doraisa. You know, like Medrash Chachamim, like it isn't the Ikar Mefurash Bakra, but it is an application or part of the category, right? Or it means that it's a Kiyum Daraisa, even if it isn't a Kiyum Daraisa. Or it means it's a Durabanan, but a Durabanan which is Ke'en Daraisa, in which case it still reflects conceptually, right, on the category. So the Rambam's Bidivrei Sofrim here already elevates, if you will, this the din of Bidikas Chametz. The fact, this is what Joshua said, the fact that he also, when he invokes Bidivrei Sofrim, does so as he is, let's say, relating to some of the more specific details, more demanding details of the Bidika. Right, mechapes achar chametz b'machvaus b'chorim. Right, v'livdo galotzio b'kol gevulo. V'chein b'divrei sofrim. The second one, bokimash pitzin achametz galayla mitchila seol yedalad l'araner. That also has a double effect. On the one hand, by accentuating like the pratin, especially the thoroughness of the search initially, and then possibly not just the time when you do it. But again, that implies a certain comprehensiveness. Like in the beginning of this tikufal, you know, from the start, you know, you have to do this. You know, you have to pick an optimal time because, you know, it's not only pragmatic, people likely to do it, more likely to do it, but also because maybe it's a significant process, it's a significant halachic action, you know, for finding the optimal time and place and conditions, you know, or an area for the Bedika, you know, Anashim, Mitsuyim, Bebateim, like all this care, you know, once again implies that what's happening here is consequential. That's one side of it. And that fits with the Divrei Sofrim, you know, meaning you're upgrading the status of Bedika. Moreover, at the same time, they're not mutually exclusive. One might even think that maybe the Divrei Sofrim part, you know, is connected to these pratim, but that the general idea that you need to do bedika is kind of dorai, is already dorai, right? And like implicit in the very concept of tashbisim, even though he focuses very much on bittul. And this especially might be the case if indeed the Rambam has the girsa, you know, that we spoke of the other day, and that is the one that the Kesef Mishnah quotes, right? Mahi ashbasa huamur batorah. Again, our girsa says, Mahi ashbasa huamur batorah. Shivata chametz b'libo v'yashav asem ha'afar v'yasem b'libo shemishus ha'klal kol chametz shemishus ha'reka ha'afar. I mean, the Rambam doesn't limit to chametz she'ena yadua. It applies to all bittul. Then the Rambam goes, v'divrei sofrim v'chakas. Okay, but if you have the other girsa, my espos is huamur batorah, he she yasir achametz yadua lo, mershuso, right, she'eni yadua, Yivat Babaliba Vyasimosam, etc. So then the Halacha Gimel could go, is presumably going back on Shiyasir Hachametz Hayadualo, right, Mer Shusa. Right, either it goes on that, or the Rambam's referring to what he writes in the end of Perek Gimel, right, which they probably certainly also refer to that, which is when he discusses discusses beer chametz. So the idea that for the Rambam Bedika, you know, maybe Doraisa, at least a Kiyum Doraisa, or some aspects of it, maybe a Kiyum Doraisa, or if not at a very high level Drabanan, that reflects on Kiyum Doraisa, is something which is implied. Now, the Rav, for example, thought, at least when I heard, yeah, Netanya has a question. Go ahead.
Is the fact that the Rambam doesn't say Shema Yavo La'achlo also important? In other words,
well, I think that's a closest to right. I think it is, but again, I don't, that to me is not so crucial. Yeah, I think that's the Chudash. When Tosa says it, I think that's the Chudash, and I think you know the assumption, the default assumption would be that that no one holds that Vedika is Kadesh Lo Yavo L'Day Achila, unless they say, frankly. So no, I agree with you in the substance. Meaning, you know, if he thought that this was a siyag achila, should he have said it? 100%. I think that's what you're trying to get out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, 100%. Correcting it. I'm just saying it, and I'm adding what I'm adding, just because, you know, to highlight that what Tosa says is actually quite mechudash, and you know, anybody who doesn't say it doesn't believe it. So, right, but then you're right. So then even more so, like, well, what is it? You know, what is this Rabbanan even connected to? So you can say it's a further siyag of Bayuah, you know, like Rabbeinu Yechiel and so on and so forth. In a way, what I'm suggesting is that both the detail, the Divrei Sofer, and the Divrei Sofer being dialectical, maybe working, you know, in one way or the other or both, is kind of implying that Bedika certainly reflects Tashbisu and the Chumrah of Chametz. So I agree with you 100%. I'm just like adding a methodological point, isn't that Tosas is the Chudash too. Again, once we know it, it's hard to get it out of your mind. That's the influence of the Rishonim. But that doesn't mean we should impose it upon other systems as a default like assumption, like, wow, and he didn't say Achila. That part, no. But yeah, I don't think he's Achila, so then what is it? Right? Okay, just 1 second. Okay. So, the Rav Mitzvot was also impressed with the, you know, Divrei Sofrim, that the Rambam was trying to say that Bedikas Chametz was King Doraisa. I may mention this. He thought that, like, where's the Doraisa that this Drabbanan is patterned with? So ironically, he thought it was the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam has a strong formulation about rooting out, seeking, destroying, you know, rooting out Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. He thought, oh, that's the Kein Doraisa. And the Rambam is saying, you know, Bedikas Chametz, treat it like Avodah Zarah. You know, Midra Abana, maybe. I personally think you don't need to go that far. Although I think it's ironic, of course, in light of the Tshuva of the Radvaz, who basically says, oh, we don't find any of these phenomena, and even about Azara, only in Eretz Yisrael. So it actually fits in very well. You know, as yes or as a no, but as a, you know, being contextually connected, if you will. But what's fascinating, to go a little further, where do I get it from? The Kesef Mishnah does make the suggestion that maybe Bedikas Chametz might be Doraisa. Correct, Josh? And what is the Makar? You have the line?
That Bedikas Chametz is Doraisa?
Yeah. It says, if Bedikas Chametz would be Doraisa, but let's say you use Tashbisu up for Bittul, which the Rambam you know, seems to do, like the Rambam, this parent basis, mitzaseh min haTorah lahashmis hachametz kodem zman Yisrael also. By the way, I'll also add, since we mentioned it, we're always interested in it, the Rambam has already weighed in about Bayur HaMatzeh, at least initially, right? In Perek Aleph, Halakha Beis, integrated with Yisrael Hanah. Right? And, you know, now it's Perek Beis, Halakha Aleph, and now he's introducing Tashbisu. So that's actually interesting too. But okay, this is Rambam's definition of Tashbisu, is Bittul. Again, if Bittul is limited to Chametz She'eni Yadua, then you could say that the Bedika in Halakha Beis, or the Biur of Hashpasasam Chaldavar of the Chachamim, you know, is also included in Tashbisu. Maybe. But either way, the Rambam's order, you know, to go from Bittul to Bedika, you know, kind of even ignoring, you know, Biur until later, is fascinating. It's curious. Right? Either way, if the Rambam thinks that Bittul is Tashbisu and it's used up, you know, and if he thinks that the Dika might be the Raisa, it's only Chorin, Ustakim, or the Erev, you know, Bismansha, Ansheish, you know, Beso Batsuyim, that's the Drabanan. So where is the Makar for Bedika the Raisa? So what does he say?
He says,
oh, again, that's of course what we're going for. But the Kesavitz is saying so much more. He's suggesting that Bedika could be Doraisa for the Rambam in the, you know, in the broader way, and that the Makar would be a Marazara. And again, the Kalkomer, if you have to do Bittul and these other things, meaning it's almost like within the mentality of the Radvaz. But then again, Bedika, you know, to use Netanel's perspective, right? You don't root out about a zara so you're not going to eat it. Well, you do root it out so you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be oveid. But probably it's much more than that. Namely, it shouldn't. Well, you know, it's much more than that. It's that it shouldn't even be present because, you know, it's an antithesis to everything that we are and everything that we value. So of course, you know, Radvaz thinks Chametz on Pesach is even worse. That's shocking a little bit. We've tried to explain, you know, how that could be, you know, in a more, I guess, modern way. But at the end of the day, the Kesavish's reading of the Rambam that it might be Daraisa, and the possibility that it comes from Avodah Zarah is very fascinating. Okay. The Pashtus, I guess, you'd think that the Rambam holds its Drabbanan. All of it is Drabbanan. But it still probably is King Daraisa. And the fact that it's again Bechorim, Machvos, and all that, reminding us of, I mean, one of the things the Radvaz highlighted as a Chumrah was the Chorim and Stocking. That's interesting. That's very interesting, too. It's actually quite interesting that we could then end up thinking that. Chametz is either Doraisa, the Bedikas Chametz is Doraisa, the Makar being either Tashbisu, depending on the Gersa of the Rambam and Halakha Beis, or Avodah Zarah, right? Or just being Kiyum Doraisa, or that it would be a very high level Drabbanan, which is either patterned after Avodah Zarah also, or I think you don't even need it. I just think if there, you know, from Yehuda thinks it's the Sreifa, so, you know, the Rabban, then, you know, we can at least think that there's a Rabban and a Bedika. And maybe even for the Rambam that we pass can like the Chacham. Okay, this is in sharp contrast to others. This is called contrasted. So when we look at the Shibali Alekhet, for example, which I didn't give you a specific look at, he, you know, portrays Bedika as a pure Rabban. You know, he explains that's why there's no Shechianu on it. On the bracha of the Bikascha, the mitzvah of the Bikascha, that's the Yonzei Shechianu. He thinks it's like a low level drabbanan, like a pragmatic drabbanan, like a siag daraisa kind of you know, asiyad rabbanan for deraisa. You know, so, you know, even the bracha, you know, he justifies based on losasur. But like, you know, begrudgingly, biyarti hakodesh min habayis, he doesn't even think it's like the first step to biur, but in it itself, you know, is pinuy habayis. Again, he could have turned that into a strike. He sees it as, you know, a way of kind of downplaying or minimizing this. So this is very sharp contrast also to the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi is very fascinating. Eitan, Sokolov, saw the Yerushalmi. Eitan?
Yeah, so I saw the beginning about learning out chametz from matzah.
Yeah, it's an amazing Yerushalmi. 2 days of Yerushalmi. What's the first? Do you have it there? Do you have a language? Wow, what do you think about that?
So it shows a strong connection between matzah and chametz.
Correct. For sure, we're going to discuss that in a minute, and we're going to expect... Was everybody able to hear it? Are you hearing Eitan on your computers? Or not really? But that would be too much feedback. Yeah, okay. So the Yerushalmi basically says... That the pasuk, right, which seems to be talking about shmiras hamatzos, right, is actually a reference to bedikas imeinu inyan lakan lematza, because the facts don't fit so perfectly. Tno inyan lachametz. Correct, Eitan?
Yeah.
That is one lingud of Yerushalmi. What's the second limud in the Yerushalmi? Here, you know what? Can I? Maybe I can. If I make mine loud, does that help? Wait. Oh, I see. Here, 1 second. Oh, no. That's oh, just like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so. Just skip to that. Rav Mana.
Does that help or not really? No? No. Hey, go ahead, Eitan, either way. I'll tell him what you said.
Okay, a little more narrow.
We're going to hold the mic there.
That
helps. Oh. Okay, let me try this. Yeah. We got it so perfectly positioned. Right? I feel like I shouldn't play with it. Yeah, go ahead. Where's the speaker in this thing? Go ahead, Eitan, speak. You know where it is?
I have no idea where it is. On the bottom.
It's a hardware issue, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Loma Lora Naramur Shulbar Rabiasak,
Bishop,
Lama
Bioson,
Hashim
Dikas, and Nerya. Okay, so. No? Okay, we're banding. Yeah, go ahead. So basically, it's the other view of the Yerushalmi. Can you hear me now? With this back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember when I was, you know, when I was a Talmud, when I was in Rav Shir, the Rav used to tape his shiurim. So he had the microphone on, and it was like a lot of, you know, comic. You know, play with the, you know, the microphone, fixing the microphone, you know, and the microphone breaking and the thing and the reel and the this. So I guess we're back at that, to that. You know. So brings back good memories for me. Yeah, go ahead. So eight times the second Yerushalmi doesn't say that matzah imenu inyan lakan. Instead, it says what? Ushmarta mesayom hazeh ledoraseichem. Go ahead.
Asay sheyihu hayom
v'halayla mishumar. Asay sheyihu hayom v'halayla mishumar. So what do you think about that one?
The fact that it's in contrast to the first...
only in contrast? I think it's more than that. I think it has its own charm.
But it seems to view B'dika Samitz as independently significant.
No, that's true, for sure. But what's also significant about anybody in the room? Shmira. Ushmarta. Josh?
It sounds like, as opposed to the B'dika being again in Achilas Matzah, the incoming Achilas Matzah, it sounds like the 14th day is being primed by the B'dika, which is for it.
Yeah, I think two things are part. So let me mention each one quickly. We're not going to spend more time because I want to... But these are important building blocks. First of all, both views of the Yerushalmi are that B'dika is d'oraisa. Okay, that's very important. Okay. Each one has its own, significance. The first one is a pasuk about matzah. Now again, for this you have to buy into what I think is, mostly true, but not everybody agrees, and that is a methodological problem. And that is, as we've said many times, drashos are giluye nosa, expose us to facts, but we don't really pay attention to, the content of the drasha, to pick up a hint, a perspective on the character of the halacha, right? So my default assumption, I should do this, right? My default assumption is that is not correct, right? Or at least for many Rishonim, certainly for somebody like Rambam, I think it's totally not correct. That's what half the story of Divrei Sofrim is about, but we've seen this again and again. In general, I think we can't always fathom and penetrate, and we have to have the humility, even when we try to penetrate and fathom, to know that we're speculating. But we can make intelligent speculations, and I think that's appropriate. So when you have an eino inyan, that's a particularly challenging kind of a drasha, because you're talking about you're taking a certain result from a different context. Like, what does that mean? So I would always assume that it means that what appear to be two totally different, totally independent ideas are actually not. So if the makor for B'dikas Kamitz, according to Yerushalmi, is a pasuk about matzah, so this raises a whole new vista in our larger discussion about chametz. In that, until now we've said chametz is nisur, zman, yes or no. Of course, it goes in and out of nisur. Lamaisa, is that true conceptually? That's our davshesh matir and ateirabala. And not Barnat, all these discussions. And is that a kula? Is that a chumra? What is that exactly? How can chametz be so toxic when chametz, right, is also so permitted and prominent? Like, what's going on? And we've been discussing the challenge it poses to the Radvaz and the Mordechai and that whole school about Nisadim and my suggestion about physical liberation, and so on and so forth. But a piece that we haven't discussed yet, which is a prominent issue in Torah Shabbat and in Torah Shabbat, is the relationship between matzah and chametz. Right? Chametz is replaced by the need for matzah. To what extent, can one say that the prohibitions of chametz are the neglect of matzah. So again, I think that there are different ways to say this. There are indications, we'll discuss them through some point during the year. There are actually contrary indications about the relationship between matzah and chametz in an extreme way. In other words, there are gemaras that assume that matzah is just a function of negating chametz. Remember, the Gemara had a havamina, you know, that women, this is like it came up in the Gemara when we were talking about Tarotas Chametz, the Gemara in Elover and the Gimel. The Gemara thought that you need a ribui to teach you that women are prohibited from eating chametz. Because since matzah is a mitzvah shel zman grama, and nashim pturos, and kol she'eino b'matzah, eino b'chametz, right? So women would be permitted to eat chametz on Pesach, if not for gzeiras hakasa. Right? Then the Gemara did an 180 degree round turn. Okay, we didn't discuss this part of it, but that's in that same Gemara. The Gemara said, actually, the relationship is correct, namely chametz and matzah. The conclusion is the opposite. I mean, don't think that women are should have been permitted in chametz because they're not obligated in matzah. Think that they're obligated in matzah, and it constitutes an exception to the din of mitzvah seishes zman grama, precisely because they are equally right included in the dire Yisra chametz. Okay? So chamesha saminim, right, are required for matzah, says the Gemara in Lamed Hei in Pesachim, because they're boim lidei chimutz. Boim lidei chimutz is a precondition for matzah. When the Gemara speaks about payrolls, again, we'll do the list at a later time in the year to be more comprehensive. Just make sure that I do it at some point. But when the Gemara speaks about made payrolls, so the Gemara talks about whether made payrolls is machmitzin on Lamed Vav. And the Gemara also speaks about whether or not, you know, matzah should be losha, you know, mime peros is acceptable. Lechem oni, right? Lechem oni, you know, as opposed to matzah ashir. So there are two opposite Gemaras. The Gemara had a habanina that maybe the reason that chametz cannot be produced by meperos is because meperos cannot be matzah. Can't be matzah, can't be chametz. And then the Gemara said, no, it's the opposite. You know, maybe one of the reasons that you can't have matzah from meperos, you know, is also because, well, the Rishon at least discussed this, because it's not mischametz. So the precise relationship between chametz and matzah ends up being very complicated, but there are at least a few havaminas where the Gemara thinks that one or the other is dominant. How would that look? Meaning, it's a little similar to what we talked about before about tashbisum, the abayura, right? But of course, here it's, you know, the gap is greater. So in a way, one way to look at it is that there's no din of matzah except to negate chametz. Or the whole point of chametz, which is mutar kalashana, is simply the urgent requirement, demand of matzah. You know, it's kind of, again, can you imagine that women wouldn't be obligated to matzah, they'd be able to eat chametz? I mean, that would certainly, our sedarim, our chagamatzos would look very different if half the population, you know, was eating chametz. There's no such view, let me make it clear. Unless, you know, you're going to go back to Sefer Mikvah about the afal, but that's not a gender thing. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, how could it be? How can chametz be chayv kares for Yisrael, male, right, and be completely mutter for a woman who has equal kedushas Yisrael, you know, because she's not obligated in matzah? Like, how would that look if we froze the havamim? The answer is, when you think about it, you know, not so much different than what we were saying about chametz as an iser zman. Meaning, just transfer all the, you know, necessary messaging that we spoke about, you know, just transfer it away from the ills of chametz per se, and transfer it to the kiyum of matzah. Matzah is, you know, disciplined, it's restrained, it's restricted. Maybe there's also an additional connotation of korban and menachos. I think it could build it, you know, even more strongly. At the end of the day, what you'd be saying is, excuse me, that matzah is kind of a mitzvah saseh, you know, sheyesh bakaris, like korban pesach and mila. Wow. You know, not really, because you don't get kares for the for neglecting the aseh matzah. But if the point is that chametz was asur and bekares and with everything, because it constituted, you know, kind of an insult, a slap in the face, an undercut matzah, you know, so, you know, kind of you'd be saying that. And it's not quite, it's not as shocking, you know, as it seems. It's an interesting perspective. Part of it may even be true. When the Torah, remember, the Torah itself veers back and forth between chametz and matzah. Every time, in every parsha, we'll try to document it properly at the right time. Whatever the Torah speaks about chametz and matzah, it sounds like they're going back and forth. And different parshios, you know, different order, different emphasis. And that's where we get the rule of kol she'ishna of b'chametz, she'ishna of b'matzah, and so on and so forth. In the end of the day, that's, again, dealing with some of the technicality, or it's like there's this war between matzah and chametz, like you have to choose, like, you know, the shnei asirim, kind of. Maybe not as dramatic. How much of it is true, l'halacha? Some of it is true, probably in both directions. The Torah seems to say, how many days of achilas matzah are there in the Torah, according to the Torah? I mean, it sounds weird to say it that way. And I don't mean it fully, but according to Torah Shebichsav, you know, when you read Pshuto Shel Mikra, Avrami, how many days do you eat the matzahs?
Shivas
Yamin. It sounds like Shivas Yamin. Few times, right? And the Gemara discusses it. The Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't mean it. You know, that just means, basically, Rashi quotes it in his Perush on the Torah. Rashi's expansive on it in his Perush on the Gemara. In the very end of the Masechta, right, when we talk about Matzah D'Oraisa, Matzah D'Rabbanan, right? That it's, what we really mean is that there's an Yisra Chametz. You can't eat Chametz. So the Torah, according to Chazal, signify... You can't eat chametz by telling you to eat matzah when the eating matzah part is not accurate? So at least according to the Gra and earlier the Chizkuni and the Bali Tosala Torah, they think there's a kiyum called Shivas Yom. But according to the more normative Shulchan Aruch Pesach, right, there's not even a kiyum. And yet the Torah misleads us. And according to the Gra and the Chizkuni, the kiyum is independent, or the kiyum itself is connected to negating a further negation of chametz? Or maybe there are two aspects. Hard to know. What am I trying to say? That this idea of chametz toxicity is also bound up, that lends greater significance to matzah, but in turn is possibly also caused by the alternative of matzah. Again, the exact relationship, whether they're two sides of the same coin, each one enhances the other, one is the mechayiv of the other, we can discern in different havaminas, different shittos, different nuanced views on those issues. I'm not concerned with pinning those down right now. I'll make sure that we go through the list at some point during the year, but even if it's only, you know, before Pesach. But in the end of the day, this Yerushalmi, that's what it's saying. Yerushalmi is saying that B'dikas Chametz is Daraisa, and the Makar is Imeinu Inyan L'chan. What do you mean Imeinu Inyan L'chan, Tano L'chan? How do you get... Who says, if it's not talking about matzah, it's talking about chametz? B'dikas chametz. Maybe it's talking about no certain pigol. You know? Or maybe it's talking about, I don't know, some other thing you have to do on Pesach. No, there's a background to all this. Because the Yerushalmi knows the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And the Yerushalmi knows that and agrees with some of the Chazals about the substantive link between the two. And for sure, they're thinking conceptually also that Chametz and Matzah, just as they are in the Mikdash, represent, you know, alternatives and categories that are particularly accentuated on Pesach. So, the Pasuk, which tells you, you need Shmiras HaMatzos, you know, what that kind of means, Al Pidin, is, you know, when you're getting ready to turn your abode and your lifestyle, you know, into Chag HaMatzos, I'm not talking about Sukkah now, right? When you're getting ready to embrace Chag HaMatzos, right, you have to do some advanced preparation and some spirited, symbolic seek and destroy about the chametz of the matzah antithesis, the anti-matzah, right? Namely, chametz. Wow, amazing. And, you know, not just food for thought, excuse the pun, but again, cluing into the whole Isser Zman issue, as well as the complex, very rich topic of the actual relationship of chametz and matzah. The other limud is also fascinating, because what it does is it says you need shmira mifan. Shmira has a connotation. Okay, Josh said it's, you know, you have to kind of, you know, clear it all out in advance. Shmira also, you know, reminds us, those who were here last year, of the Ramban. Okay? Eitan, which Ramban? Both Eitans are getting involved. Great. Okay, Eitan, you say it for your people. Eitan, you say it for your people. The Chulin Beis on the Beis. Like, the possibilities here with this hybrid thing are just, like, amazing. They're, like, infinite. Once we figure it out, it's going to be a colossus. Yeah, go ahead. The question, what's the question that the Ramban's dealing with? Why don't you say Safek Eitan? Either Eitan. Safek Tuma versus Harabim Lekula Tahar, in other words. Why don't you say that in a certain case in Trumos or Kodshim? And the Gemara in Chulin seems to say, and elsewhere, that we don't apply the din of Safek which is Haram and Lakula when it comes to the Tahara of Kachin or Truma. Correct? So what's the answer? Let's see, somebody who's Aaron. What's the answer?
Yeah, Aaron.
Why don't you say it? Ooh, remember? Or saluting you? Yitzchak. Weiss?
The Ramban in Chulin?
Yeah.
That we would require a Shmira, just like Truma requires a Shmira.
Because in Trumos it says, Mishmeres Trumosah. And Kachin and Truma have a din of Shmira. So what's the implication about Shmira? What does Shmira mean?
That we said a couple of things, but that you have to do something to make sure that you're protecting and potentially removing status of Safek.
Correct. In other words, typically we look at Spekos as an issue that arises and that needs to be dealt with. Right? You know, you have a certain reality, and then you have a Safek. And then the Torah gives you klali, you know, birur or klali hakra of different sorts. Sveka d'araisa, sveka d'rabbanan, Safek versus haramin, Safek versus hayachid, you know, rov and sveka, and all these kind of things. Hazakas. Right, we'll speak more about them this year as well. That's what we have. However, the Ramban is Kaddish, that when the Torah uses the language of Shmira, all bets are off. So one of the things we're trying to explain, that's what Shmira means. Shmira means that your posture needs to be such that you don't allow things to get to the point of suffering. If it's suffering, then you haven't done a Shmira. So if Yerushalmi is quoting Shmira Milafanav as a basis for Bedika, right, it's not only that, you know, the contrast to the matzah we would, it also implies that that's what Bedika is about. Bedika is an advance guard, meaning it's a seek and destroy. It's ensure. I think there are two connotations. Number one, it's the aggressiveness, the preemptiveness. I'm not going to go back to public combo, the preemptive part. But it's the preemptive strike, right, of, you know, making sure that you know, there's no comments. But more importantly, what? Oh, really? Really? Who said that? Wow. Okay. That would be wonderful. Because of your height and chiyuv to begin with. Yeah. So number one, it means you have to act preemptively. But in addition to that, it may also indicate that what we're dealing with is shmiras hamakom. Like the idea that we talked about in the Maram Chalava and some other rishonim very prominently, that is to make your home a chametz-free zone. Right? That's what Shmira is. Me. Okay. Having said that, I just want to mention two other things. The Yifei Nayim, who, of course, you know, in the back of the Gemaras, you know, does tremendous service always by also, you know, helping us, you know, with related and relevant Yerushalmis. So he just points out, very, I think, correctly, that there's also seems to be a difference between the two limudim with regard to the timing question. Because if it's Shmira, then the entire Yom Yudalel, right, needs to be shown. Also, that's where the Shmira begins. So that would imply that the timing, you know, namely right in the beginning of Yudalel, or maybe even getting to the Raivin in the second, hopefully, or I guess on Sunday, or Larva Asar, that it even be a little bit in advance of darkness, that we already be involved in the Bedika, so that the entire Yom Yudalel could be Shomur, as opposed to saying, Imenuinu Lamatza, you know, it has to be at night sometime. It doesn't necessarily have to be right away. Of course, the implications for that also about Yom Yudalel. That's something we're going to discuss a lot too. Yom Yudalel the whole day, and Yom Yudalel after Chatzos. You know, what is that whole phenomenon? Very fascinating things. The idea that Bedika's comments could be d'oraisa, based on Yerushalmi, is, I believe, also quoted by the Gra in Siman and this pasuk, the second one, in Taf Lamed Aleph. The Gra there discusses the din that the Rambam quotes. That's the Gemara in Daf Dalet that hopefully we'll get to on Sunday when we run through the Gemaras. And that is that somebody who, even if he was poseach, you know, his limud, the heter, he's supposed to be mafsik for bedikas chametz. Right? Why would you do that? Limud HaTorah is d'oraisa. Because Chametz is only brought one. But I think the Grub, to check out the language on Sunday, in Taf Lamed Aleph, says, quoting the Yerushalmi, that it's like a mitzvah of Eretz. Because it has to be from Tchilas Halayla. Otherwise, the day is not going to be Mishuma. That's very fascinating. The Magen Avraham, generally, in Taf Lamed Aleph, when it discusses the problem again of Hatsik Talmud Torah, has two deos, whether or not Bidika isn't Doraisa, and wondering again on this question, is Bidika Doraisa the Yerushalmi in advance, or Dafke Bizman Abiyur? Right? Again, possibly being dependent upon these two Lashonos. Okay. So I just wanted to mention one other shita, and that is the Orchas Chaim. It's also in the Shultas, actually. The Orchas Chaim seems to say that the Bidikas Chametz is an independent mitzvah, and has, see if I put it here, and has its own makar as well. He says, and this is really the Shultas, this is the Orchas Chaim, the Chametz Oz Beis, Miu, like we get the anti-fogging thing, right? Midaraisa b'bito b'almasagi. The akra b'bito lo yagra lo yirav lo yimatsa. Harav rab aro kasa, midarbarna koi milodil. Lefisha nemar b'chametz b'lo yirulcha, chametz b'lo yimatsa b'batechem, yesh b'mashma shetzarech b'dika acharav. U'minatora chayiv adam livdok kodem zman yisurim. So he derives this from the drasha, what he thinks is a drasha, of lo yimatzei bivatechi. I think that's what Shulta says as well. So this, of course, just highlights something that we've been speaking about, and this will conclude this part of it, and that is, if Bidikas Doraisa, or Kain Doraisa, or Kiyum Doraisa, right, what we've seen is different perspectives still on what that means. Right, whether it's Bidika, which is Tafa Labiur, Bidika, which is Ikar Labiur, right, like the Makar Chaim, that it's Tafel, but it's, you know, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's Tchila Sabir, maybe that's a shot in the Ram, although the Ram certainly gives an equal billing with the Biur. It's part of the process, maybe two parts of the same integrated, process, as opposed to Makar Chaim and so on. But what we've also seen is that it could also be a shiur in lo nichalei, you know, in a general how you relate to chametz. We've seen makaros for that. And then thirdly, we've seen the idea that maybe bedika is particularly focused on your home and the idea of turning it into a bias baduk or the chametz into chametz eni yadua. I think those are also two different things. But especially the idea of pinuy abayis, and especially if that's with the pshat of the brachas. Again, you know, the bracha al bir chametz, according to some Rishonim, because bedika such a drabanan, you know, it's just tafel labiur, and therefore you make the bracha already al bir. For others, you know, it would be because hainu bir, hainu bedika, they're the same. Or they both do the same thing. It's really the process, not because it's so drabanan and tough. But yet, for a third group, as we discussed, it's biarti hakodesh. We'll discuss this more. Biarti hakodesh min abayis. And then the focus is on, or maybe it has a dual meaning, one for the actual beer and one for the bedika. But for the bedika part, that would be biarti hakodesh min abayis, because not just, oh, we got rid of it, we found it, we sought and we succeeded and we destroyed, but the idea of making sure, securing, right, the hope front, right, making the home free. So this is very consequential for the pshat of biur and biarti and al biur chametz and how that brought it. But it's also, as you can imagine, very important for some technical halachic questions that are hardly technical. And we're going to discuss them when we get to it. But they are things like, is there a problem being mafsik when you make the bracha on bedikas chametz until you actually find chametz? And all the chametz or a piece of chametz? Is there a requirement to put out pieces as Klal Yisrael was knowing, you know, because of bracha levatala, or just the search itself and the transformation of chametz into chametz and yidur and the bayis into bayis badug is enough for that? So when can you be mafsik? What does the bracha mean? How does it relate to the beer of the next day? Do you need to have to find anything? All of these issues and more will depend on the different perspectives of bidikas, chametz, etc. Okay, so that is in terms of, you know, an initial discussion of bidika. Now let's turn our attention. We're going to stop in one more minute. Let's just start the Shaka Vitaria just for a minute. Or do I not have a Gemara? Or do I forgot to do it? Okay. If we got somebody read. Do we have another 5 minutes? Yeah. For now, if we just get one. I think I'll go to the Reed's office, see if they have one. Either that or I'll get one from my office. Just to keep it so I don't have to take it back and forth. Okay. You want to read? Do the honors? What? From the beginning of the Gemara. I just want to introduce the topics quickly, and I want to go through this quickly because I really want to get to Dalet Amud Beis. But also, go ahead. Mayor. Okay, so that halacha, again, those, some of these we're not going to go into very deeply. Here it's an interesting argument, whether or not it's the references to mazikin, right, or the references to, you know, crime, looting, you know, etc., you know, just dangerous environment. It's a, you know, an issue which has its parallel in other places. Even though Rashi here, you know, seems to say that this is a reference to, you know, to concern over, you know, robbery and some of the Nealistim and the Achayas. Rabbi Kivager points out that elsewhere he holds the Mazikin view. But again, how, let's say, open Rishonim are, you know, to, let's say, expanding, you know, the role of Mazikin where it isn't explicit in the Gemara itself, is probably, you know, an indicator, you know, about the orientation towards, you know, being more rationalistic, you know, more, I guess, scientific in terms of what we know ourselves, as opposed to this Masorah that there is this category called Mazikin. And that's like an interesting meta topic, which comes up quite often. But either way, Rashi believes in both. Bali Tosas here speak about Mazikin. And other Rishonim, obviously the Rambam, Udi'ime, you know, more try to concretize, you know, these types of Gemara. But they're interesting. Okay, go ahead. They say. Okay, use Rashi. Yes. Okay, that's also interesting, but we're not going to go into that. Let's go ahead. Is the Baruch Hashem gave the charge, right? The marching orders, you know, for each. Yeah. Here, let's just go a little bit further for today, and then I'll tell you the two things I want to talk about very, very briefly. Got Mace Day. That's impossible, right? Okay, so let's stop here for a moment. So I have two things I want to discuss. One of them I'm going to leave for a Sunday, and that is the description here, which is intriguing. Yonatan of what? Right, Yonatan? It is Yonatan? Behind the mask there? Yeah, okay. The description of what? Of Tesa Kochavim. Now this line, Bakaimelon, Ad Tesa Kochavim, Yamama. And that's a big statement. Right? When we see that, we, you know, that instigates a little bit of, skepticism. Right? Because we know that there's something called what? You want to tell me? In addition to Tzeis HaKochavim, there's something called Shkiyas HaChama. Right? And there's also something called, even earlier than that, something called, in the hierarchy of halachic time, would you say? Bicha? The Tzeis HaKochavim, the Shkia, question how many Shkias are there? How many Tzeis there are? Well, let's say it's categories. What's the one before that? What? Okay, the question is how does Ben Hashmashos fit in? Whether Ben Hashmashos is before Shkia or after Shkia, right? Okay, and what else? What's certainly before everything, but still has some status? Anybody? Plaga Mincha. Right? There's, let's put it this way. There's, in the hierarchy of Jews, I'm not going to do this extensively because it'll take too long, but there's Alos HaShachar, right? There's Netzach Hama. If you want to chart the Jewish day. Right? There's something called Boker. How does that fit in? Right? There's something called Chatzos. Then there's something called Bein Arbayim. Question, is that exactly Chatzos? Right? Then there's, Mincha Gedola, Mincha Ketana. Then there's Plaga Mincha. Right? And then you have the whole problem of Shkia, Ben Hashmashos, Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's a complicated, that's a complicated structure. The question is, what do all of these different, times represent? There's something called Boker, there's something called Erev, there's something called Yom, there's something called Laila. That's also complicated. Is Erev and Boker the same as Yom and Laila, or at least the beginnings of the and so on? And then to add to the to the puzzle, you also have the Shemesh, which is part of it, basically part of what we just discussed. You have the Shemesh, you have the Levana and the Kochavim and the Psukim in Bereishis and other places that imply that they will, the Memshalas Bayom, the Memshalas Balaila, which is kind of what we read right here as well. Okay. So trying to figure out in a consistent way, what all these different milestones during the day, represent, is difficult. The Gemara here has a big statement that says that until you reach a kaimon da'at seisa kochav based on pasuk in the Chevya, there's a Gemara in Brachos, ad seisa kochavim, right, yimamahu. Right? Even if I think that that it's not Laila until Tzeis HaKochavim. Does that mean it's Yamama? I mean, all the way until Tzeis HaKochavim, it's Yom. Maybe it's not yet, not anymore Yom, even though it isn't Laila. Are these mutually exclusive categories? Can you have, you know, something which is both Yom V'Laila or neither Yom V'Laila? Of course, that's the Beit HaShemashos. Usually that's called the Beit HaShemashos problem. Is it really a Safek? Or is it a twilight zone? Literally, it's like a, you know, it's a Shal She'ena Yom V'Eino Laila or Shal Shehu Shneim? And are there dinim that allow? So this is a question. Tosis already discusses how this fits in with what? Yom V'Tan? Tosis invokes the Gemara in Megillah. And then invokes, what? Correct. And then he also, but then he's quoting also from Bamei Madlikin. Right? So again, Shabbos that discusses, you know, Bein HaShemashos. Correct? And Tosis tries to square. In addition to that, you have this Ravid who says that even though Lamaskano, we say what? The or means Laila, right? The fact that it's called or implies that the Medika should begin while it's still, there's a little bit of light. What does he mean by that exactly? That means what? Before Tzeis? Tzeis still has a little light? The beginning of Tzeis? Before Tzeis? Even when it's a little light outside? Like what does that mean, Lamaisa? And what are the implications for Medika's Chametz? And what does it tell you about timing of the day? So I want to talk about that very briefly on Sunday, because it's a massive topic. I'm not going to, you know, I'll mention a little bit Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra and so on, write it here and so on. But again, I want to do it very quickly. I know I'm over time already. Let me just say one word about the other part. The other interesting Gemara here is that the Gemara says that Kochavim are considered or. Hanoder min or cannot be nene, right? Min or a Kochavim, correct? Yeah. So, it's interesting to note, and this is the Ha'ara of the Note of Yehuda, the Note of Yehuda points out that this Gemara is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Right, we don't find it. The Rokeach was of the opinion, based on this Gemara, that when you do Havdalah, you could do Havdalah on the light of the Kochavim. Right? That's remarkable, actually. So the Dor Yehuda, though, was very skeptical. The Dor Yehuda was of the opinion, I'm just going to read this and then we'll stop, that this whole Gemara is just a Havamina. And that Lahalaka, when the Gemara goes back and finishes its conclusion, that Or means Erev, right? So then you don't need to say this pshat, you know, that Kochavim, you know, are or. Right? You can just say that the or, the pasuk, refers to nighttime. So in his opinion, the Gemara dropped, you know, it's implicit in the Maskanas HaGemara that this is not Lahalaka. I'll just read you, it's a, I'm just quoting you from this compendium, Shidim Gebetzes on Pesach and Rav Shudi put together. It's a very convenient thing sometimes. Yesh l'tmo al girsas ha-gemara d'tnam. Ein zu mishnah b'shem makom. This is a Dor Yehuda in Madura Tinyana, Yoredeya, Kuf Mem Dal. He says, it's not a mishnah, harei pishpashti b'tosefta n'dar v'lo matzasi. Al kein yesh l'hachlit shizu rak member b'gemara t'bevadai to soferu, mean the word t'nam. Again, not the Rokeach, who thought that you could use it for Havdalah. The Ishlomar, that what's really the issue? The issue that Tosis brings up. What does Tosis bring up, Yonatan? Since when do we see, do we determine, right? No, since when does the Pasuk
define nedar. Don't we say nedarim hochenacha l'shom b'nei adam? So if a person is noted in a kokhavim, his being osur b'na'or, yes or no, should be dependent on that. What is supposed to say? Interesting answer. You have it? None of that? If the guy says Mishkal Yadi, even though there's a stira between what the Torah calls Yad and what Bnei Adam colloquially call Yad, we go Nedar and Basar Shom Bnei Adam. So Tosa says, so why is the Gemara here saying that a Noder and a Kochavim depends on this Pasuk? Says Tosa, in a vacuum, when there's no Shom Bnei Adam, then the Mikra is Koveh. I actually think that's a Tosa says in a few places, but I don't think it's obvious. I like it very much, because I think it's, you know, ish halacha kind of a, you know, an idea. I admit that I always get excited about those. So in the act, no, we're not going to overcome, you know, if you say something and you don't mean it, then you're not going to be committed to that kind of an edda. So zinabasal shom b'nei, that's a no-brainer when it comes to the dark. However, the idea of what a vacuum, but he didn't necessarily mean it, he said it. So we're going to impose upon him, you know, he did not mean it, he didn't mean it. So now it depends on the Shona Kra. That implies, like, that implicitly or default, you know, people's commitment or their language. And by the way, it says a lot about language. Right, I talked a little about this yesterday in a different context, but the idea that halakha doesn't just see language as like a mechanism and a vehicle to communicate. Of course it's that. And communication itself is, you know, part of what makes man man. But more than that, it sees words, you know, basaram amarim nivra ol, like in philosophy. You know, thought is logos, or ideas. Where articulation, and this is again, the whole first few dapim psachim, we'll discuss a little more about lashon beguna and so on. Right? Language has a certain, and in the world of mysticism and Kabbalah, you know, invoking language, you know, is very powerful. So even if you don't go to that mystical level, the idea is that, you know, for a Ben Toros, being no there and isn't thinking not, or even is thinking, but we want to know what his commitment is, and colloquially there's no foundation, so the default is the Shona Torah. That's what people's frame of reference is. It's not so obvious because he has to be creating this for himself. You know, he's creating a chetza shal iser, an iser chetza. So maybe even default it should be. So in a way, that's what the Nodi Bihuda is challenging. Me'ata ni omer she'teirut spor kochavim nami oru, rak alibet sol gadaitach, that, you know, whatever, avot fia maskana, or urta, or farshom enachlus ha'pasuk, in a different way. Mimela hocha macha l'shom b'nei adam, kuma b'chol gadarin, l'chein ishmitu ha'poskim, sh'akol l'fi l'shom b'nei adam. Now, he doesn't really address whether, you know, he doesn't say explicitly he disagrees with Moses, but certainly one could disagree with Moses as much as I like it. That's a very important argument. So you have this idea of the Rokeach. You have Moses' interesting view, which he repeats in a few places, about the vacuum, which I think is mechudash and important, both. And maybe there's room to disagree with it, especially if l'halacha, we don't pass in this way, and you also have an issue of, Abdullah. Okay, we'll stop here. I want to pick up very briefly, speak about the Yom Balayla Boker area of just very broad strokes. Then I want to finish up. Then we'll talk about Baba Machteris, Rashi Tosis, Tosis in the Sanhedrin, if you can look at it very quickly. Then I want to talk, if you can look at the Minchas Chinuch, I think it's in Yud Gimel, where he talks about, you know, this from Yudim and Besera issue, why he didn't do Aliyah L'Regel. Let's see what you can find. This toast is very mechudash. Talk about that. But again, this is going to be very drive-by. I really, really want to get to, you know, we'll speak about a little bit of the Shona Gemara. I really mostly want to get to Dalit. But I am going to spend a couple of more minutes on also Erev, Pesach, Isur Malacha. Really, about the Mishnah topics, I think I mentioned the two Mishnahs, Nun and Nun Hei, and the Rambam and Tosis, and Rebbe David here and there as well. Okay? So Sunday, the Shir will be on Zoom. Monday, hopefully live. Thursday, live. Yeah. Okay. Yes.